VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a movement that's been gaining steam across this country, that of dismantling and defunding police departments. Many are seeking to just do away with law enforcement as we know it today. This movement's been used as a springboard over the death of George Floyd, and the media has been generously providing more and more time to the efforts. Is this the direction we need to take as a nation? What's at stake if we dismantle and defund law enforcement? What will fill the gap if that happens? Is there widespread bias in our policing today? Well, joining us today, we welcome Dr. Richard Schmidt. Rich is the former sheriff of Milwaukee County, serving some 32 years in different capacities in the sheriff's office, which culminated with his becoming sheriff, being appointed sheriff here in the county. He's recently been called as pastor of Union Grove Baptist Church, Union Grove, Wisconsin. Also heads up Prophecy Focused Ministries. He's recently launched a TV program on WVCY Television, Prophecy Focus. Rich, nice to have you here in our studio.
Well, Jim, thanks so much for having me. Boy, this issue is one that really got my attention. It pulled me out of retirement for a moment, if you will, to talk about this subject, which is really extremely important to us.
And before we talk in this matter of policing itself, I'd like to just hear your comments on the death of George Floyd, nearly 9 minutes of video so much of America has seen with the now former officer's knee on the back of the neck of George Floyd.
Right. Well, everybody that's seen it, and of course I've watched the video, it's disheartening, it's unfortunate, it's criminal. I mean, there's just no way around it. Mm-hmm. Let the system adjudicate it as it should, but this has obviously gotten our attention. It's gotten the nation's attention, and quite frankly, it's internationally, it's gotten some of their attention. So this is a horrific thing. Obviously, I am not for any shape, manner, or form anything that took place that day. It's fairly obvious the officer didn't follow proper training, that he was trained to do right but refused to do it. So obviously, there's a major reason why the country's upset with this.
You directed a large metropolitan sheriff's department, Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department. You interacted with people from a wide array of ethnicity. Do you believe that there's a widespread problem on the part of law enforcement, particularly in dealing with non-whites?
You know, that's the million-dollar question, and officers are trained in how to deal with different cultures, different ethnicities, so to speak, and they know the right thing to do. Now, the problem is, and our listeners, they're not blind to what's going on any more than we are, so what's the facts? The facts are that many officers come into the job, even though they're trained right, and you just have to be point-blank honest about this. They do have prejudices, they do have cultural differences, and many of them, unfortunately, I won't say many, but a good number of them, unfortunately, either it's not clicking with them or they fail to follow their training. So the majority of officers, I believe, honestly, do a wonderful job. They're dedicated. They put their lives on the line every single day that they put the uniform on. But there is some, obviously, and you can't deny the obvious, right? We know that some officers come in and they don't follow the training. They have biases when they come in, and that's where this problem comes in.
So let's talk just a moment about police brutality or police violence taking place. How significant is this? Is this, we're talking a small number of officers? Is it a problem at large here across law enforcement in the nation?
Well, again, it's a very subjective question, and I like to say this. It all boils down to leadership. If you've got the proper leadership in place in your community, in the sheriff's office, in your local police departments and federal agencies, strong leadership will prevent a lot of this stuff from, if you will, breaking loose. If you've got weak leadership in the front line, they're not holding their officers accountable, they're not disciplining them and even firing them, or quite frankly, sometimes criminal charges are in order, then you're going to have things like just took place. Again, I think the vast majority, and I don't want to pigeonhole all of law enforcement in a bad light, because 99%, I believe, are doing a wonderful job. But you've got some leadership in certain places around the country. Quite frankly, they shouldn't be in leadership. They're poor leaders. They are not leading in a proper manner, and you get problems.
Richmond is our guest here today on Crosstalk. He's a former sheriff of Milwaukee County, serving some 32 years in the department. Now serving, has just entered the pastorate, pastoral ministry, and also prophecy ministry. Rich, as you know, there's a growing volume today saying dismantle police departments, defund them, start over again. We have Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. She wrote this on Twitter, quote, "We can't reform a system that is rotten. Reimagining and reconstructing a new way forward is a better approach. The Minneapolis Police Department has proven themselves beyond reform. It's a time to disband them and reimagine public safety in Minneapolis." Your response?
Well, again, without making a disparaging mark about the person who stated this, again, I like being totally honest, totally blunt about things. I don't like to talk politically correct, and I don't intend to. When you have individuals that are obviously looking at law enforcement, looking at conservative values in a horrible light, which this particular person does, you have to take that from their perspective. Well, that's a perspective certainly I don't agree with. I'm a Bible-believing conservative individual. I believe in law and order. And taking law and order away is going to produce a lawless society. So again, different strokes for different types of people, and I understand that, but absolutely positively, you cannot disband law enforcement, and I think we'll get into that a little bit more as we progress here.
Indeed, and certain mayors are taking steps right now. We have Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York City, who is removing this huge chunk of money right now from NYPD, redirecting it to social programs, supporting youth and social services. What's in store for communities like New York City? We know there are efforts underway in other communities as well, but what's in store for communities that are taking this approach?
Well, what's in store for those communities is a rise in violent crime, a rise in murder, a rise in illegal guns, a rise in rape, a rise in violent crime, and anarchy is going to eventually take over those places. So what have I heard, and of course this is such a hotbed of political issue right now, I've listened to Joe Biden, who said unequivocally, we are not to defund or take away the police. That's from his side. Donald Trump, I watched his interview today, exact same thing. So the lead individuals, whether Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal, all understand that to take away the police departments is definitely going to cause anarchy, and absolutely these things can't be allowed to happen. Mm-hmm. We're myopically looking at a particular situation, a low-level crime, so to speak, that ended in a horrible death. We understand that, and it's horrible that that took place. But now we've got to get back to reality. Folks, there are 1.2 million violent crimes in America in the last major report that came out. Violent crimes, people killed, people hurt, people violently hurt. You take away the police department, you take away the ability to prosecute, you take away the ability to put criminals in jail, you're going to have a disruptive, chaotic society.
That was New York City, and this is something that's happening in cities all across this country right now. And I know you're well familiar with things going on here in southeast Wisconsin, but even in our city, there is a proposal right now for the Milwaukee Police Department, a proposal at least for a $75 million cut. That represents 25% of the monies put into the Milwaukee Police Department, approximately. We have our local Fox 6 News reporting that the proposal coming from groups like the African American Roundtable, ACLU of Wisconsin, they want the money put into public health, housing cooperatives. Again, the forecast that you're presenting here for us says that there is going to be chaos on the streets if we go this direction.
Absolutely. Now, I understand there's a lack of funding for mental health. There's a lack of funding for housing. There's a lack of jobs for many of the people in the urban areas. Mm-hmm. These have been historic issues, and quite frankly, I understand those, and I agree they're problematic. The problem, though, is if you take away the police, let's just talk about the Milwaukee Police Department. I'm not sure what their numbers are, but historically, somewhere between 1,400 and 2,000 officers or 1,800 officers. you start declining and taking that away. Folks, you cannot drive down the streets in Milwaukee, specifically downtown, where you're almost getting killed because people are going 80, 90 miles an hour on side streets. That's just traffic. How about the amount of violent crime? How about the fact that 30,000 individuals in Milwaukee go through the Milwaukee County Jail on a yearly basis? Some of those are low-lying crimes, so to speak. They're in and out, but a lot of those are very, very serious felonies. You defund the police department. You take away their officers. It's just going to exponentially get worse.
Yeah. I'd like to have you comment on another issue, too, because we're seeing a battle really take place between local mayors and the law enforcement side of things. Last Thursday, South Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti spoke of slashing the police department's budget by as much as $150 million, saying it starts someplace, and we say we're going to be who we are going to be. Who we want to be, or we're going to continue being the killers that we are. His phrase, killers that we are, has just outraged a number of officers in the community. And these are many times the same officers are providing bodyguard service for the mayor.
Absolutely. Now, and again, let's go back to the basic premise right now. 99% of officers, no matter what their ethnic background, African-American, Latino, white, doesn't matter, Asian, across the board are excellent, they're committed, they've literally, as we've stated, they put their life on the line. Mm-hmm. The problem is when they get into difficult, violent situations and all of a sudden a particular officer goes the wrong direction, or he maybe uses a little too much force, or maybe a lot too much force in some cases. These things happen. You start to defund the training, you start to take away officers, and once again, it just all rolls right back to the same concept. You stop law enforcement. And by the way, this is a Christian radio station. God ordained government in Genesis chapter 9 to protect the people. That's the role of government. It's not to do all, you know, if they want to do all these other programs, it's not the God-ordained optic, if you will. Now, if that's what people vote to do, so be it. But God ordained government to keep people safe, and now we're talking about how can we keep it safe without using law and order. Folks, I don't know how to do that, and the only thing out there that I'm aware of is in Camden, Minnesota, where there was a where they did dismantle their police department, and they brought in a different police group. So the concept that's out there, which is false, fake news again, they didn't totally disband the police department. They got rid of a certain group of police. They brought in another set, and they did reduce their numbers. The fact is you cannot disband police, or you're going to go into a chaotic, horrible situation.
Dr. Richard Schmidt, our guest here today on Crosstalk. We're going to take a quick break coming up here and discuss further the topic here today. As a matter of fact, there is also a war on cops going on right now here, too, across the nation, which we'll be addressing. We'll take this quick break. And by the way, the ministry website for our guest, prophecyfocusministries.com. That's prophecyfocusministries.com. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what happens to a fossil when it's buried?
Chris, a buried fossil quickly begins to decompose. It's relentlessly attacked by bacteria eating away at the organic material. Recently, however, several fossils have been discovered with the original organic material intact. Here's a couple examples. Soft dinosaur tissue was found, supposedly over 65 million years old. Elsewhere, clam fossils were found with the organic muscles holding the two shells together, supposedly 200 million years old. Now, evolutionists are committed to the millions of years idea, so they overlook this obvious evidence for rapid recent burial. Chris, it looks like a rapid burial event happened not very long ago. I think that's the great flood of Noah's day that's mentioned back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today is a time to dismantle and defund police. Well, with us here today is the former sheriff of Milwaukee County, Richard Schmidt, who Richard is now serving as a pastor of Union Grove Baptist Church, also heads prophecy-focused ministries. As I mentioned at the outset, he has just launched a TV program on WVCY television called Prophecy Focus. Just made its debut this month of June 2020. And if you'd like to see that, we have the first two episodes posted up on YouTube right now. Go to vcyamerica.org, look for the little YouTube link there, and that'll take you to a number of programs. Featured at the top there is Prophecy Focus, brand new television program on WVCY television. Again, vcyamerica.org, look for the little YouTube link, and that'll take you to the broadcast. Rich, as you know, right now there's also this war on cops that's going on. I saw the right over the Brooklyn Queens Expressway, these huge letters spelling out kill cops. Gwinnett County, Georgia, officers tracked down going to their homes, violence and also vandalism ensued after that. We've got officers that have been killed all over this nation, different cities, St. Louis and other communities as well. Are you seeing this picture painted for us here today? Cops are bad people, and we have this war in cops?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, this is nothing new. There was a session probably a little over a year, about 2 years ago, where it really got ramped up against police again. And it kind of died down a bit. There was a lot of social media, a lot of different things showing police interacting with the community, which is really, I think most police departments around the country, the sheriff's office that I was part of, with the previous sheriff, myself, when I was there, and I know with the current sheriff, they take a lot of time. They spend a lot of time in the community. They're really trying to work with people. The unfortunate thing, you get one horrific bad incident like this unfortunate death of George Floyd, and all of a sudden now all the good that's been done is completely wiped out. Now, I'd like to give a quick illustration, if you don't mind. When you look at what was taking place in just the last week or so, you saw crime happening in the neighborhoods that were affected by this death. You watched people going into their own neighborhood, destroying the livelihood of many of the African-American people, the business people, small businesses. They looted them. They busted down their buildings. They put them on fire. Now, folks, you got to look at it the same way. Should we condemn the entire African-American community because of a couple very, the only word that comes to mind is knucklehead, so excuse the word, but when you have a couple of anarchists come in and do this horrific type of looting and wrecking their own community, should we condemn the whole community? Of course not. It's the same thing with police. Yes, you might have some, and we know there are some that have done wrong and they've caused damage, if you will, but you cannot condemn the entire police department, which is one thing that's taking place. So, is it ramping up again like it did a few years ago? Absolutely it has. Mm-hmm. These officers, they go out, they put the uniform on, they literally put their lives, and we've said this three times already, they put their lives in danger every time that uniform goes on. Chief Morales, I just watched an interview with him a few days ago. He's talking about his officers. They're being followed home after work. They're being threatened. We know of others that have actually been killed. Inappropriate? Yes, absolutely. Anarchy, chaos, catastrophic results. This ought not to be.
You talked about the mayhem happening in different neighborhoods and communities. Your predecessor, Sheriff David Clark, indicated that defunding police will only make life worse for blacks in America, saying this. He said, the biggest losers in all this will be poor black people in crime-ridden ghettos. The police are the only thing standing between them and violent criminal predators. He said, you'd have to loathe black people to go through and do this very aspect. Isn't that what we would do, just totally decimate those who are depending upon the protection?
Absolutely. And you know what I appreciate, and I love Sheriff Clark. We were good friends for some 15 years I served under him, and he can say things in the right manner. Sheriff Clark, as everyone knows, is an African-American, and he is able to state things that, quite frankly, if I say them, it may not be taken with credibility, But he lived in the community. He knows the community. He's seen what lawlessness can do to the community. And he very rightly, and I applaud him for doing this, he's put it out there. You're going to kill your own community if you decide to take police away. Yes, a couple of bad incidents. Is that worth the rapes and the robberies and the burglaries and the deaths and the gun shootings and the drugs and the things that are decimating the community? Cannot do that.
We have seen protesters, rioters that have gotten right up into the face of law enforcement officers. How do they handle this? Because in the natural, one would want to retaliate, but yet there are so many cell phone cameras on every single officer during this time. Describe what's going on at that time.
You know, it's a horrific thing because these officers are human beings, and you keep, if you will, punching their buttons, spitting on them, cursing them, egging them on, just trying to get them to respond in a bad way. That takes incredible discipline. That's why when you've got 50 cops on a line and they're holding a line to try and keep rioters away, and one of the individuals, one of the police officers maybe gets a little bit rambunctious, you got 48 other guys most of the time are going to pull them back and say, hey, let it go, brother. You cannot go after it. Yeah. So it takes tremendous discipline, camaraderie, teamwork, and leadership.
Are you concerned that we're going to have law enforcement personnel just said, you know, I'm tired of this. I'm done with it. I'm quitting public service and just resigning?
Well, unfortunately, what you just said is exactly what's going to happen if things don't change. A couple of years ago, we went through this exact same scenario. I had a horrific time trying to hire officers for about a year because people just were scared. They didn't want to commit to law enforcement. They didn't want to be hated by their community. They didn't want to be potentially killed when they're going into just something as simple as going into the community to say hi. So people got scared. Folks, we cannot allow this to scare us. We cannot allow the myopic look of, well, it's tough and hard. We need good, godly individuals, whether they're Christians or just have good ethics and good morals and want to serve their community. We need good people to protect the righteous, the lawless, or the law-abiding citizen, and to put the lawless in jail where it's where they belong, to keep them from hurting society.
We also are seeing certainly the release of so many lawless ones due to the coronavirus who are back recommitting so many acts, and because of zero bail related policies being put right back on the streets again, it seems to many that we're just in a free-for-all.
And that's the exact thing that the criminal mindset is latching onto. Folks, there's a thing that's known as recidivism. In other words, there's a small segment of society that just really, no matter what you do, no matter how many programs you put them in, unless they come, literally, if they come to Christ and have their life changed, is the only thing that's going to change them. They're in and out, in and out, in and out of jail 10, 20, 30 times. You put these individuals that have serious violent crimes back on the street. Their hearts and lives have not been changed. They're going to go out. They're going to do the same thing. And you say, well, that's a general statement. But, folks, statistics prove it. And, Jim, the one thing I found, and one reason I'm glad I'm out of law enforcement now, is because the country is not listening to statistics and truth. They listen only to their emotions so many times. Getting people to understand facts and what's really happening and not just getting emotionally involved on a certain issue, it's the most heartbreaking thing to me when people just close their minds, they work off emotions, and just throw statistics away like they don't exist.
Yeah, and it seems right now where the chorus is growing louder and louder on this defund police. I mean, it is certainly headlining so many newscasts right now. And the Daily Caller pointed out in a YouGov poll that just 16% of Americans support cutting funding for police departments, a poll of 1,060 adults. One has to wonder why this growing chorus. Do you see the media playing a part of this, just fanning the flames for this action to take place?
Well, Jim, that's a rhetorical question because we all know the answer to that. The media has absolutely been fanning the flames. We know who controls the media. There's very, very few conservative outlets such as VCY that'll literally approach things from a biblical conservative standpoint. That's not the national norm, and all of us are very, very aware of that. So, yes, the media has fanned the flames. They're pushing this very liberal anti-cop agenda. And are they going to be – they are successful to a great degree with especially those that already enjoy, for whatever reason, anarchy and looting and rioting and crime. But you know what, Jim? I honestly think America's smarter than that. I think America overall knows what's right and what's wrong. It's this loud, loud, loud minority that's making so much noise. They're trying to stifle the things that are proper, the things that the conservative America, if you will, the law-abiding people, those that have ethics and morals, whether they have a conservative basis or not, whether they're liberal or not, people don't want to be killed in their homes. They don't want to be killed on the streets. They don't want people smashing into them, getting away with it, killing their loved ones, drugs, overdoses everywhere. I think America's smarter than that.
Rich Schmidt is with us today, former sheriff of Milwaukee County, now is pastor of Union Grove Baptist Church, also heads Prophecy Focused Ministries, their website, prophecyfocusministries.com. And I would like to bring the prophetic side into this here as well, because we know that the things that we're seeing today are not the end all. There's a bigger picture here, and we know that there are those who are clamoring for getting rid of the police, as we know it, those who just want to have the UN's involvement at this time, those even pushing for a global society and so forth. If you would just kind of look where we are today and now put on your prophecy-focused lenses here, give us what you're seeing take place as it relates to what God has said in His Word. We know we're heading toward a time of lawlessness.
Well, Jim, here's the thing, and I'm so glad we're going here, and I'm so glad we can do that on your radio station. Folks, the Bible makes it very clear that lawlessness is going to come. It's going to abound, and it's coming in a big, big way. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 talks about when lawlessness abounds on the earth. That's during the tribulation time. It's coming. Satan right now, and you know, we all like to blame everything on Satan, but folks, there is a spiritual warfare that's taking place. Satan is setting the stage for things that are going to take place in the future tribulation period. It just, and I was talking to Jim about this, folks, right before we got on the air, about the concept of lawlessness. It never hit me until today. When you take away, and I have no doubt that something's going to happen, maybe not during this presidential administration, maybe the next one. Lawlessness, I think, is really going to happen because a lot of these incidents appear that they're going to try and defund, they're going to take away police power. Lawlessness will abound. People are going to hate God. They're going to be lawless. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 talks about it. Revelation 13 talks about the one world economy, one world religion, one world government. It's all coming. Revelation 13 makes it very, very clear. These things are going to take place. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7 talks about perilous times that will come in the last days. Folks, I'm looking forward to Jesus coming at any moment because things are so, it's just, Jim, in my lifetime, I never thought we would get this close and see things like we're seeing today. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
We're going to pick up with this right after the break. Rich Schmidt, our guest here today on Crosstalk, and just discussing this issue, is it time to dismantle and defund police? And hearing a perspective that is going on, but not just for looking at the temporal, but the eternal as well. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Are you aware of past crises when America's fate hung desperately in the balance? From the French and Indian War, the Revolution, the Civil War, and other national events, leaders in our country called the nation to prayer. In the book, Miracles in American History, author Susie Federer, the wife of historian and researcher Bill Federer, recounts 32 amazing stories of answered prayer from American history. You'll read about events such as the winter at Valley Forge, the Boston Tea Party, dense fog that appeared, allowing 8,000 troops to escape, the Star-Spangled Banner, and other events where prayer had an impact. You'll also learn when Apollo 13 was lost in space, what happened after the president called the nation to prayer. It's a reminder as to how badly prayer is needed for our nation today.
Copies of Miracles in American History are available for a donation of $18 to VCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Richard Schmidt, our guest here today on the program, and he is the former sheriff of Milwaukee County, now serving in the pastorate and also a prophecy ministry. And again, the videos are available even on VCY's website, vcyamerica.org. You can click on the YouTube link and see the Prophecy Focus television program just made its debut this very month. We were talking about the prophetic end of all of this. Some are clamoring for that one world system, a universal government, universal police force, if you will, in this regard. We see a lot that is culminating to the end, and I was just rather shocked again here just by seeing an article from Pamela Geller, how even this incident with George Floyd, a horrible incident, but is being used to fan the flames of anti-Semitism at the same time, where a cartoon character of Israeli police officer with his knee on the back of a Palestinian and basically, you know, Palestine saying, get off our back or get off my neck, I can't breathe. It is as if any incident is being utilized in order to somehow come up against Israel in such a time as this.
All right, Jim. Well, that's so inappropriate. It's wrong. It's using it. It's grandstanding off of a horrific event to try and go against the Jewish people. All I can say is this. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3 make it very clear that I'm going to bless those who bless Israel and I'm going to curse those who curse Israel. You going up against Israel just plain is not a real smart thing to do, because God's made it very clear the Jewish people are his chosen people. They're to be loved, respected, and certainly supported. And trying to make a political statement such as this, it's just inappropriate. I'm totally against what has happened. You can't keep blaming the Jewish people for everything that has nothing to do with them.
Right, right. By the way, listeners, our phone lines are open. If you have a question on this topic here today, dismantling, defunding police, you've heard the comments mentioned here today, the prophecy aspect to where we're headed as well. Our phone number here to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Certainly, you hear the flames being fanned by the media here and all the individuals right now, even a veto-proof margin in the Minneapolis City Council to do away with the police department as it's known here today. Your thoughts on these issues, maybe your questions on these, 800-733-9829. Rich, let me ask you, what is your concern for our nation, where we are today on this date in 2020?
Well, my concern is this. Number one is, people need to stop listening to the noise out there and get down to what facts are. First is, God's made it very clear, and we're on a Christian station, so we got to make it clear. The first thing we need to do is direct people back to the Lord. Folks, the more folks that we as Christians don't stand up and solemnly go out, tell folks about Christ, try to win folks to Jesus Christ and change the culture that way, we're just going to keep endorsing the anarchy that's going on. So God's people, and that's why I took the pastorate, that's why I've been in ministry, God has called God's people to be out there doing his business. Our failure to act, our complacency, our status quo attitudes will destroy America. So God has called us while we're here to get out and do the work. Second thing is, what else is going on? Well, if we're going to allow the loud noise, if you will, of the majority of the liberal media, which is controlling things, to have the voice, we've got to learn to stop buying into that and start learning how, as a culture, if we're going to change the culture that they want to see in some of the 1% of law enforcement, how about changing the culture within our urban neighborhoods and so forth, where we're actually doing the right things, where law and order once again becomes the norm instead of the exception.
We have the Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Deval Patrick, saying, or Dan Patrick, rather, he said that America must turn to God to overcome these race-related problems, and his cause is for people to accept Christ. Indeed, we're very much in a spiritual battle here, are we not?
It is. And Jim, you know, I served an African-American sheriff. I loved him. I would have given my life for him. It had nothing to do with race. It had to do with he's a human being who had ethics and morals, and I chose to serve him. Mm-hmm. It's the same way. I've just like most of us, whether we're what, no matter what our races, we most of us have friends of different races. I have a lot of African-American friends. I love them. They're my brothers and sisters, and I care about them dearly, same as I would any one of any other race or religion, so to speak. So it all comes down to we're aware. I am totally get it that the African-American community has gone through some very, very tough things. There have been things that they are fighting to try and get back economically, mental health issues. Yes, those are all real issues, and I won't deny that. But the fact is, every single person can choose to do right or choose to do wrong. Just like Sheriff Clark used to remind me back when he was the sheriff of Milwaukee County. If his mom and his dad would have said, listen, just go off into the streets and didn't care to bring him upright, he could have been one of those individuals that's dead or in jail too. But the parents chose to raise him as an African-American young man properly, and he turned out to be a good individual.
Wow. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's begin in Monroe, Wisconsin. Mark, you're on the air.
Yeah, I believe that the end game of the all this lawlessness is 1 Thessalonians 5:3, when it says, for when they say peace and safety, then the end of then the sudden destruction comes upon them, and is labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And I think this is just setting the stage for what ultimately takes place. And again, you know, when the restrainer is taken away, and ultimately, assuming and I do believe the rapture takes place first, then all that's going to be left is, hell and destruction on earth, because that's what the tribulation's all about. So,
Mark, we'll have our guest comment. Thank you.
Well, Mark, you're exactly right. The Bible speaks, and again, I love prophecy because we're seeing things, as you stated properly. The things right now in our life are setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. So, yes, and as you, I also agree with you, the rapture is the first thing that will take place. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, Jesus Christ comes in the air, takes the dead and alive in Christ home. Right after that, Daniel 9:27, the Antichrist will confirm a covenant with the Jewish people, a small peace treaty, and then all of a sudden, all corruption will break loose on this earth, which you can read about in Revelation 4 to chapter 19, verse 1, Matthew chapter 24, the whole book of Joel, and many other places. This is indeed, these things that are happening in our communities right now, Satan is, and I love that word, setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled during that tribulation period.
We've got Barbara calling in from Washington State. Barbara, you're on the air.
Yes, my question is, do you think the people who are pushing this business of getting rid of our police force want to replace our police with Sharia law?
Thank you for the call here, Barbara. And we know if you get dismantled police, there's going to be a vacuum. Something's got to take place.
Well, and that's it's a good question. It's one I think that's definitely speculative. We've definitely seen some of our Islamic friends, specifically those in Washington, that are pushing an agenda that's going along that line. I really don't know if that's where it's going to go. I honestly think it's more going to set the stage for Satan's system that will come about after the rapture of the church. Revelation chapter 12 tells us, starting about in verse 7 through the end of the chapter, that Satan is literally going to get kicked out of heaven. He will come down. He'll have a short period of time, 3.5 years, to empower the Antichrist. The Muslim world at that time will be null and void based on Ezekiel 38 and 39. It will be a system that's controlled by Satan, Antichrist, and the false prophet, and it will be a one world, one government system, of which Antichrist, who will not be Muslim, will be the head.
It's interesting to know that at the same time we've got groups right now like the Council on American Islamic Relations that are adding their voice to the chorus of protests going on across the nation.
Right, and I definitely agree with that. There's a rise, if you will, of all different factions, many different religions that are rising up to basically, and I hate to even say that, they're trying to destroy the morals and the ethics of the American world. But folks, it all boils down to one thing. Satan has been trying to defeat God's program since Genesis chapter 3, and he's going to keep doing it, and he'll use whatever group, whatever means, whatever religion he can to eventually get the Antichrist in place.
Let's go to Pastor Mark, calling from Missouri, and Pastor Mark, you're on the air.
Yeah, I did an internet search on countries that are at war with each other, and it's an amazing amount of countries that are fighting within themselves. And when you look at Matthew 24:7, it says, "For nation will rise against nation." And for years, people have said, well, that's China against the United States, or that's Russia against Great Britain, and it's a nation against itself. I believe that's what the text is saying. And in order for havoc to occur, in order for a one-world government to occur, you've got to bring the most powerful nation on earth to its knees. So this is a nation against itself, and if you look at news stories around the world, this is happening. Great Britain's having wars against themselves. Hong Kong is going against China. So this is a nation against nation problem, and I do believe that the coming of Christ is upon us.
Well, Pastor, and I appreciate that, and I think you're right on the money. We're seeing all these things rising up. Of course, Matthew chapter 24 and 25, Jesus Christ's Olivet Discourse. A couple days before he was crucified, he gave one of the best prophetic treaties, if you will, in Scripture in Matthew 24 and 25, talking about those things which will rise up during the end times, during the tribulation time, and all these things are coming. The stage is being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
Let's go to Diane in Belgium, Wisconsin. Diane, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Schmidt. I did watch your program this weekend, and I'm so happy that you are on today. My question is, isn't law enforcement, you know, part of the criminal justice system, which is part of our judiciary branch of government, how can we just throw that out?
Well, the easy answer is, in my opinion, you can't. And I think that's exactly where you're headed. You can't throw it out. It's got to be here. So I'm not even sure how to answer that, except we all know, especially as law-abiding citizens, you're not going to become a lawless culture. I think the Christian community, by the way, is going to play a huge part in this. Folks, we can't stay silent. Folks, I've been off the air when it comes to anything dealing with law enforcement for a year and a half. When Jim called me today and said, "Rich, are you ready to get on and talk about this issue?" I'm like, bless God, it's time to stand up and take a stand on this, because I won't be silent anymore on it. I've been silent long enough on this issue.
I'm so happy to hear that.
So, folks, and I'm not out there to try and cause a different form of anarchy, but, folks, we need a law-abiding, strong way. Get our voice out there. Make our voice heard.
Yes, we need a godly backbone.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call here. Just before we take our next call, we're going to have a one-minute break. First, I don't want to interrupt the caller here. Rich Schmidt is our guest today on Crosstalk. Dr. Schmidt is the former sheriff of Milwaukee County, serving some 32 years in different capacities in the sheriff's office, which culminated in becoming a sheriff of the county. Recently called now as pastor of Union Grove Baptist Church, and also heads Prophecy Focus Ministries. Again, his website, prophecyfocusministries.com. We'll take some more of your questions right after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. There's a 45-page manual out there called Burn Down the American Plantation. It is nothing less than anarchy and communism mixed together. It is calling for the end of the state, the end of police, the end of prisons. It is calling for revolutionary justice. It is calling for attacking conservatives and constitutionalists because we are involved in so-called slavery. It says they must abolish the slavery system, and by that they mean the free market system, and they see our laws and our constitutional republic as an extension of slavery. They even state that the folks in the suburbs, the middle class, are extension of the police because they sit on juries, they're snitches, and sometimes they're deputized, and they support the police. Therefore, this is why you're going to see them move into the suburbs and try to burn down the suburbs, well, because you're part of extension of the police. Look out, America is involved in a communist revolution attempt.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Rich Schmidt, our guest today on the program. We're going right back to the phone lines, calling from Cohasset, Minnesota. We have Myron calling. Hi, Myron, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim. Question I have with the government shutting down the churches and saying they are not essential and sending police in to arrest people, however, out in the cars, if you've heard those stories. How about our brothers and sisters in North Korea, China, Venezuela, Cuba? Aren't they going against God's word by going underground to worship God? Or is our church just kind of got real wimpy and don't know really how to stand up? I'll sign off here and listen for the comments.
Thank you, Myron.
Well, Myron, you bring up a wonderful point. The apostles made it real clear when they were arrested for preaching Christ that and they were told, go out, keep your mouth shut, never talk about Jesus again, and we'll leave you alone. And they walked out being filled with the Holy Spirit, individuals that had walked with Jesus, and they said, we have to do what Jesus told us to do. We cannot keep our mouth shut when it comes to sharing the gospel. So, folks, I'm praying, and I'm sure you're praying as a Christian community, that God will preserve our country, that he'll allow us to keep our churches open. We've seen some very, very concerning things that happened during this COVID issue. I understand being law-abiding, making sure we're not spreading a virus and so forth, but we've all seen some particular jurisdictions that have been very, very close to, if I can say this, exceeding the law, if you will, to try and keep churches closed. So again, many of our organizations, many of our Christian attorneys stood up, especially in Wisconsin, they went to the Supreme Court in Wisconsin, and those things that they were trying to shut down, the churches and so forth, and religious freedom, they were overturned, and we were allowed to get our churches back open. So, folks, we have to stay verbal. We can't hide in a turtle shell. We've got to keep out there, know who your Christian attorneys are, know how to get a hold of them, and know how to get things done.
Let's go to Eddie in Glasgow, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jim, for taking my call. I'll be brief here. When I was young, I'm 66 years old now, but when I was young, I always thought my parents was wrong, and I was right. And they did make mistakes. Don't get me wrong. My parents weren't perfect, but it wasn't my place to correct them or to point out their mistakes. My place was to be the child. But we all have a problem with authority, and even driving. About lost my driving license, thought the police was picking on me. And you know, when I got straightened out and started driving, right, that was 50 years ago. I hadn't had an incident with the police since. I learned, you know, there are rules and laws, and we need rules and laws. But the problem's not law and order. The solution's law and order. But I got saved at the age of 34 years old, and I realized then just how wrong I truly was. Mm-hmm. And this world, it's in turmoil. I agree. And Jesus Christ is a solution for all of our problems. I don't know that this world will ever make it to him. I know those that have made it to him, understand what I'm trying to say right here. We're all out of kelter, and we're all right in our own eyes, kind of like the last verse of Judges. We think we're right and everybody else wrong. But thank you for the great job y'all do up there, and please keep it up.
Thank you, Eddie. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Jesse in McAllen, Texas. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. I'm going to try to be quick just with my story. I used to live in Kansas, and I had a friend. He was a white friend. And we were eating at the churches, and I just moved the vehicle from one side to a tree so we can eat under the tree shade. And cops, they rolled up on us, and I didn't have a a valid driver's. It was expired. And my friend didn't have no plates. He didn't have anything on the vehicle. No, the car was under his name and stuff. So I was the one that got arrested. So I went to jail, and they were gonna put me in this jail cell where a lot of
Jesse, I'm going to have to let me have you go right to your point here, Jesse, because we're almost out of time.
Yes, and the cop, young cop, told me I cannot put you in there, even though the lieutenant said. So I believe that there's not bad cops out there. Not all of them are bad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say that real quick.
Thank you so much. Yvonne in Las Cruces, New Mexico, you're on the air.
Yes, this is concerning lawlessness against me. I have lived in this house where I live in Las Cruces for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And almost 100% of the time when I leave home, people come into my house, vandalize my property.
Okay, Yvonne, let's deal right with our topic here today, if we could.
And the police don't know anything about it, but I think I know it. It has to be somebody close to me that lives close
Okay,
to me.
Thank you, Yvonne. Tom in Rochester, New York, you're on the air.
Yeah, this whole thing's interesting because obviously you can see the spirits are moving behind the Democratic Communist Party to destroy America. And the thing that was interesting about this is you have to remove law enforcement for them to have the dictatorship. But that this was about racism. That's what kills me. We have no idea that it was about racism. They all of a sudden decided that a white cop killing a black cop was about racism, when we don't know that at all. But yet, this is being perpetrated as it is about racism.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Any response to that?
Well, and the calls that I just listened to, all good points. Great things were brought up and stated. And listen, it all comes down to the bottom line. 99.9% of cops are doing the right thing at the right time. They're trying to help. The one lady that said every time she walked out, somebody came in and broke into her home, and she's begging the police to be there to try and protect her property. Folks, there aren't enough police in this country to protect everyone with the quickness and the speed with which we wish they could. Trying to take away the few cops that are left just because of a couple bad incidents, we know it's going to get worse. The lawlessness will abound. We'll have anarchy in the streets. We cannot go there.
We've got 45 seconds left, Rich. What is the role of believers in such a time as this?
Well, Jim, the most important thing in the world is God's people getting out the gospel. Jesus Christ mandated that we are his ambassadors. If we're going to keep silent, if we're not going to go out and tell folks about Christ, if we're not going to hand out trash, if we're not going to invite folks to church, we're going to get what we deserve. However, if God's people get on fire, we'll finally get the message that it's time to get out there, tell folks about Christ, invite them to church, stop being the moral quiet people, and let's start being the folks that get out, have a voice, make things known. Let's change this country for Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you for being with us today, Rich. Rich Minner, our guest here today on Crosstalk, and really echoes what Bill Federer was talking about yesterday on the program, talking about times of upheaval here in our nation. And what changed it? It was spiritual revival that needs to take place. Again, the website for our guest today, prophecyfocusministries.com. You can also check out his videos, vcyamerica.org. Click on the YouTube link. Friends, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.